Turn in your Bibles to the book of Esther. Esther chapter number 8. We'll look at a couple of verses there, verses 13 and 14. I'll read verse number 13, then if you'll join me on verse 14 of Esther chapter number 8. Stand with me, please. In Esther chapter number 8, I'll begin at verse number 13. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan, the palace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the fun that we've had. Lord, thank you so much for the great service that you've given us. Father, I pray that you please meet with us now in this preaching time. Lord, we need you to speak to us. We need your Holy Spirit to just meet with us for a little while. And I pray, Lord, that you please be the special music to prepare our hearts, but then be with our preacher as he speaks. Help him, give him the words that he needs to say, the words that we need to hear. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
In my darkness, Jesus found me, touched my eyes and made me see. Broke sin chains that long had bound me, gave me life and liberty. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him still to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. Oh, truth to ponder, he whom angel hosts attend, Lord of heaven, God's Son, what wonder, he became the sinner's friend. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. My song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. And praise him for his glorious love. And praise him for his glorious love.
Appreciate that. I'll not be long this evening because I knew we were having Brother Hudson in, and I don't want to keep you longer than necessary, and I should probably turn my mic on, okay? Before you yell at the PA guy, make sure that the mic is turned on and you're packed there. There we go. Great. I want to speak to you on this subject, under the right pressure. Look at verse 14. So the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on. Hastened and pressed on. They were under pressure. Pressed on, under pressure. I want to speak tonight on under the right pressure. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your glorious love that we just heard these folks sing about. Thank you for the love on display in the faces and lives of those dear Ugandan believers who've come to Jesus because of this man's ministry. And I pray that you'll bless our time in your word tonight. Lord, help our church to stay focused and stay hot after this matter of missions and giving and being involved. And we'll thank you for it. Bless me tonight. as I share this word with your people in Jesus' name. And amen. Three missionaries in 3 weeks. And all of them we have been supporting for some time. Two, of course, were from Mexico, Brother Peyton, Brother Murillo, and then now Brother Hudson in Africa. And good missionaries doing good work. All of these men doing a good job for the Lord. It's good for us to be reminded of the orders that Jesus Christ left to the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And people, you only have to pay a little bit of attention to the news to be reminded of all the chaos that is engulfing the world right now. There are hot spots everywhere. By the way, you heard of the earthquake in Napa, near Napa. When I saw that, 6 miles south of Napa was the epicenter, and I texted Brother Mike Ray, and they have a lot of buildings damaged and destroyed and without power, but they are safe, and he's pastored there for a long time at the church there. But there's a lot of hot spots in the world right now, here in America and around the globe, and certainly it would seem that we are steaming ahead to the rapture of believers, you know. And then the tribulation period is ushered in with a policy of peace. There was an interesting thing that came out of Israel and Hamas negotiations this week. The negotiators for Israel were trying to hammer out a 7-year peace plan. I don't know if you caught that or not. A 7-year peace plan. That's very interesting. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's the one that the Bible talks about, of course, in the book of Daniel. But I'll tell you this much. We have to be getting close. Amen? Have to be. So that makes missions all the more important, getting the message out while there is time and there is an urgency to this matter. There is an urgency here in the book of Esther, and we can draw some parallels from this story and make application to the urgency of the hour as it pertains to us in the matter of worldwide missions. Now, most folks in the building are familiar with the story of Esther. Let me zoom through it so that in case you're not, you get the setting of the message. Esther was chosen to be queen, and her cousin Mordecai overheard, and I'm leaving out some things that I'm trying to just get the main points. She's chosen to be queen. Her cousin Mordecai overhears a plot by two of the king's own staff who are planning basically a military coup. They're planning on assassinating the king. Mordecai overhears that, and he reports that to the authorities, and the two staff men were hanged on a tree. And somebody recorded that event in a book that chronicled the king's life. So somebody sat down with a pen and wrote about the plan to kill the king and the fact that Mordecai was the one that revealed it, and that how the king's life was spared because Mordecai, he wrote it all in the book. In the chronicles that the book that chronicled the king's life. Now, Haman was a pompous, prideful man who served Ahasuerus as his advisor, an advisor to the king. And Haman would leave the palace. He was a man of position, and all the people would bow down before him except Mordecai, and that infuriated Haman that Mordecai would not bow down to him. What was Mordecai doing? He was a Jew. He was obeying the Ten Commandments. He had no other God before him, and he wasn't bowing down to any other God, and so he wouldn't bow down. And this infuriated Haman, and Haman deceived King Ahasuerus. He went to the king and deceived him, and he said, there's a group of people out there that are troublemakers, and they're plotting to overthrow the government and all this lies and deception, and they need to be killed. And so Ahasuerus foolishly said to Haman, well, you write it up, whatever you write, I'll sign. And Haman wrote up a death order for all the Jews. He was an early Hitler. An early Hitler. And he wrote up a death order for all the Jews. And then King Ahasuerus took his ring, his signet, and it was sealed and stamped with the king's signet, which made it a law that could not be overturned. And so now the word goes out that in 1 year the Jews are going to be killed. All over the province, the kingdom of Persia, all the Jews are going to be killed. Well, Mordecai, man, he hears this and he writes Esther a letter and he says, look, you're the queen. You got to go into the king. You got to get this stopped. And she writes back and says, it's not the time for me to go see the king. I may die. And Mordecai said, don't you realize that God has raised you up for such a time as this? And if deliverance doesn't come from your hand, God will use somebody else and you're going to miss out on a blessing. And so she wrote back, okay, I'm going in, get the people to fast and pray because I'm going to see the king. And if I perish, I perish. Long story short, she revealed to the king the plot of Haman. You remember that Haman built the gallows for Mordecai to be hanged on. And then Esther revealed the plot to King Ahasuerus and said, there's the man who's going to kill me and my people because she was a Jew. And they put him on the gallows and they hung him. And so here he is now hanging from the gallows. So the man who was a problem to the Jews was gone. Problem was solved at his death, right? Wrong. Because the decree that had been signed by the king was still effective. It could not be negated. It could not be annulled. So even though the author, Haman, was dead, on the 13th day of the 12th month, Adar, which is our month, March, all the Jews, now listen, in 127 provinces, in a kingdom that reached from India to Ethiopia. Now think about that landmass. From India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces, and on March the 13th of the next year, all the Jews in the king's province were supposed to be killed and destroyed. No questions asked. Men, women, boys, and girls, all the Jews would be killed. The decree was signed into law. It was sealed with the king's ring and the king's signet, and it could not be changed. It could not be overruled. It's the same thing that happened with Daniel. Remember that? And the king signed about if you worship any other, pray to any other god, you go to the lion's den. And it couldn't be overturned. It couldn't be annulled. Only one thing could be done. And that's what happened. The only thing that could be done was for the king to send out a new decree. A new decree that would tell the Jews, on the 13th day of March, Adar, your month Adar, you stand and you fight and you get together and you prepare and you gather weapons and you be prepared on the 13th day of March to defend yourselves, and you have full right to kill anybody and everybody who comes against you. And the king took his ring and he sealed it and signed it, that new decree that gave the Jews a heads up and got them permission to get themselves defended and armed. And then the Bible says, that's what we read here, that they gave it to the posts. Now who's the post? That's the messengers, the Pony Express riders, if you will. The post office, the ones that deliver the news and so forth, deliver the mail. And so they got it all signed up, and so they put these posts and these messengers, the Bible says in verse 13, these messengers going out with this second decree, this decree of deliverance. Excuse me. The Bible says they were hastened and pressed on. They were hastened and pressed on. This was urgent. So they were under pressure. They were under the right kind of pressure. They had a lot of ground to cover and not much time to do it. And it was get the message out, get it to all 127 provinces, and get it out as fast as you can. By the way, this is a beautiful picture of the first and second covenants. The first covenant contained the message of death. The first covenant was made with the Old Testament law. And if you broke one point of the law, you were guilty of all, and the penalty was certain death. That's the first covenant. But the second covenant is Jesus paid it all. And it's a covenant of deliverance. And that's the message. Get the message out that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And that's a beautiful picture in this book. So, folks, just like this was an urgent message, and these people were hastened and pressed on, you and I have an urgent matter in front of us when it comes to this business of missions. The message of missions is urgent. And just like in this story, a message needs to get out as quickly as possible. In church, you and I are under pressure to get the message out. We're under pressure to get the, but that's the right kind. Nobody likes pressure. But this is the right kind of pressure. This is a pressure of salvation. This is a pressure of deliverance. This is a pressure of life as opposed to death. It's the right kind of pressure. Now I want to give you three parallels that come out of this story and how they apply to missions in our day and age. We'll look at them quickly and we'll be done. First of all, I want you to see that the decree was from King Ahasuerus. You find that in verse number 10 and you find it in verse number 14. That the decree was signed by the king. Now, brother, whenever a king gives a command, it takes precedence over everything else. There was an urgency, there was a priority to this message because it came from the king. And people, there is an urgency to get the gospel to the world because the order to do so came from a king. And his name is King Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. You know, you look at the Great Commission. If the Great Commission had come from somebody's mouth like the Apostle Peter, if the Great Commission had come from Paul's mouth, if the Great Commission had come from James or John, then maybe you or I could kind of take a relaxed opinion about it or a relaxed approach to the Great Commission. But the Great Commission didn't come from the lips of Peter or Paul or James or John or Jude or Thomas. The Great Commission came from the lips of Jesus Christ. And He mentioned it five times in Matthew 28 and Mark 16 and Luke 24 and John 20 and in Acts chapter 1. Five different times in five different variations, Jesus gave the Great Commission. Now look, to ignore that or to make it less than urgent is not the proper response to the command of the King. The command of the King makes this a priority. And I want to say, church, that convenience can never be considered. There will always be a reason why this is not a convenient time to get involved in missions. Always there's a reason. Always there's a reason why this is not a convenient time. Remember years gone by, it was the gas prices. Excuse me, I'm still battling this cold. The price of gas. And it was this. And that way, then there was the recession back in 08. And people had to change jobs and their income dropped in some cases. You know, there's always a reason if we're looking for some convenient thing to get out of this matter. There'll always be a reason to do so. But I want to tell you something, friend. God's people need to overlook the inconveniences and realize that the commandment to take the gospel to the world came from the lips of the king. The lips of the king. These men being hastened and pressed on because it was the king's command. Brother Paul, I was thinking as I was finishing up this message this afternoon, looking over it, I was thinking about you coming out of Oklahoma and Brother Vineyard down there. And I remember, Brother Ross and Brother Finn would tell me stories about the 3x5 cards that Brother Vineyard taught us in college. Boys, you always carry 3x5 cards in a pen. Always got to carry 3x5 cards. And he would send his staff notes on 3x5 cards. And if they ever got a note on a 3x5 card in red ink, it was not good. Amen. I mean, there was some problem he had seen on the platform. I've actually witnessed sitting by him on the platform, seen him pull out a 3x5 card, pull out a red pen, scribble on there in writing that only he could read. Amen. And then he'd pass it down. They'd get a 3x5 card with red ink, and those staff members knew that if they got a red ink 3x5 card, they better pay attention to that because it came from Dr. Vineyard and it was about something important. And I want to tell you, church, we have a red ink commission that came from the lips of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, get the message of my deliverance to the world. Get it to the world. Get it to the world. And so the decree came from the lips of the King Ahasuerus. Number two, I want you to see this, that deliverance was available. Deliverance was available. For sake of time, I won't read verse number 11 and verse number 13 to you. But those verses tell us that deliverance was available. The content of the message made it urgent. The message contained a message of deliverance. The Jews had a death sentence hanging over their head, but the message contained deliverance. The message was good news. And I'll tell you, friend, that our message contains good news as well. Mankind is destined for judgment and eternity in hell. But Jesus died so every boy, girl, teenager, man, woman can be delivered. The provision of the cross makes it possible for men to be delivered. But the message of deliverance needs to be delivered. It's got to be taken. It's got to be sent. It's got to be taken to the world. Now, you know what's interesting to me? I was thinking about this week. What's interesting to me is with all of man's sin, and with all of men's selfishness, and with all of man's wicked tendencies, it's still amazing to watch people respond to a humanitarian crisis. You know what I'm talking about? When there's some huge earthquake or mudslide or tsunami like we had some years ago, and thousands upon thousands of people are affected, lives are lost, houses are swept away. It's amazing. It's amazing to see mankind respond. Cargo planes full of water and food packs and clothing and necessities, and they fly from all parts of the world, even sometimes from the enemies of the place that's been hit by the catastrophe. Here comes all this humanitarian aid, this great response to this need for the sustenance of physical life. And you know, I'm not opposed to that. That's good. And as a church, we've sent money to help. I think the last time we sent in a situation like this was when the Philippines got hit by that typhoon. Was it last year? And we sent several thousand dollars over to Rick Martin to help all those churches rebuild their building. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with humanitarian aid. But people, we have the message of eternal life. We have the message that addresses their spiritual need. We've got it. And sometimes, you know, our approach to this message is far less urgent than our approach to humanitarian need. You know what I'm saying? It just is amazing sometimes. You know, the attitude, oh no, another missionary. You know, this is unusual for us to have missionaries 3 weeks in a row. But you know, I don't think it's by accident. I don't think God makes mistakes. You know, what am I going to say to Dan Payton? What am I going to say to Bob Murillo, who've been on the field over 20 years and we've supported them? No, you can't come by. You can't stop. We need to see them. And they need to see us, and we need to see the videos, and we need to see the work going on. And it just, I don't know how, but it presses upon me. It presses upon me how urgent the need is, and the message is, the message, it's urgent that the message gets out. Because deliverance is available. When they hear the message, they can be delivered from the decree that demands their death. Amen. And so the decree was signed by King Ahasuerus, and the deliverance was available. Let me say number three tonight. That the deadline was approaching. The deadline was approaching. Now, watch it. When King Ahasuerus signed the death order of all the Jews, 1 year from the time he signed it, they were going to die. That would have been March 13th the following year. By the time he signs the second decree, the decree of deliverance, it's now June. It's now June. The first decree cannot be overturned. So even though Haman is hanging, the Jews are still going to die on March 13th next year. It's now June. 3 months have passed. Only 9 months left. You say, Pastor, that's a lot of time. We're not talking about 8-cylinder motors here. We're not talking about the push of a button and send the message around the world. We're talking about 127 provinces that covered an area from India to Ethiopia. That's a lot of territory. And so the king signs this second decree. And if you look in, we won't take time, but in verses 10 and verses 14, you see that they went on horseback and they went on mules. And they went by camel, and they went by dromedaries, which was another type of a young camel. And they got on these animals, and they began to go. Began to go because now there's only 9 months left. On March the 13th, the Jews would die, and the message would be, can you imagine the message rolling into a province 2 days late? And bodies of Jews stacked up. And 2 days after they die, here comes the message that allowed them to defend themselves and fight and stand up and take weapons and defend yourself. It's too late. 2 days late. Can you imagine? That's why these posts, these Pony Express guys were hastened and pressed on. Don't let any grass grow under your feet. Don't waste any time. Get to every province. I want every province in the whole kingdom, 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. I want all of them to get the message of deliverance. And the deadline is approaching. Now you can make the application for yourself. You can make the application for yourself. The deadline is approaching. The gospel message has to be given out before the rapture. In most of these places, they've at least heard some. I had some opportunity to hear some form of the gospel message. And anybody who hears the gospel message and rejects it prior to the rapture will not have an opportunity to be saved after the rapture. I don't care how many times you read the books Left Behind and all that. God makes it clear in 2 Thessalonians that people who have a clear chance to be saved and hear the gospel message and reject it will not be saved during the tribulation period. They can't be. So the deadline is approaching for the gospel. What good is the message of deliverance if it's too late? What good is it? And so here you got these 127 provinces spread out from India to Ethiopia. You know that those who are closest to the palace, you know that they're going to be covered. But how about those farthest away? How about those way on the far east side of the kingdom? Or the far southwest? Or where? How about those? How are they going to get to, are they going to get there in time? And so they were hastened and they were pressed on in church. Yeah, I make no apology for missions conferences and for having missionaries through at least one a month all throughout the year. Make no apology for letting you know how Faith Promise is going, voting sometimes to send special offerings to our missionaries, encouraging you and me to be involved in it because it's the right kind of pressure for us to be under. We've got the message of deliverance. It came from the lips of the King, but brother, the deadline's approaching. The deadline's approaching. And you know that's true. And I want you to look down at verse. And by the way, I'll say this, church. We have a far greater urgency today than believers did 100 years ago. Far greater. Far, far greater. 100 years ago, Israel was not even a nation. Now Israel's a nation. What else has got to happen? Nothing else to happen but the rapture. We're under a greater urgency than any of the folks who lived 100 years ago. But I want you to look at verse 17. This is great. I love this. Look at verse 17. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews. For the fear of the Jews fell upon them. I love that. Wherever the decree went, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. Did you see that it was a good day for some of the people? As you looked at their faces tonight, it was a good day in that village when Paul and his wife took the gospel there to the Rugaba. I'm saying it right. And had 63 people in the first service. And some of those people were giving testimony and thanked God and the smile on their face. And I tell you, that's what happened when the message of deliverance shows up on time. When the message of deliverance shows up on time, some people respond, they get saved, churches are established, colleges training young people, their young people to take the gospel to their people, training those little boys and girls in Christian education. You talk about a good day, friend. They got one going on right there. They got one going on. It's all because the King's message, the King's decree, got there in time. Got there in time. So church, let me encourage you. Are you involved in giving to missions? We're having a good year in our missions giving. Our missions giving is above last year, and I'm encouraged by that. And don't ever take the approach, well, if we got enough, we never have enough. This is no exaggeration, friend. You can ask the ladies that work in the office how many applications come through our office on a weekly basis. Missionaries wanting to come here. It's every week. It's nonstop. You can't take them all on. There's just not enough to go around. But I want to take on as many as we can. Oh, there are some outstanding, some fine, you know, we're not going to have our conference in February next year, but we are going to have a missions day. We're moving it out of the frigid time of the year. And we're going to have it in September, but we're going to have one missions day. And Robert Mickey is coming from Kenya. You know, do you know Brother Mickey in Kenya? Boy, you talk about a ministry. And then a new family that was going to go out to a place. I forget where they're going. They're coming from Toledo, Ohio, Brother Sowell's church over there. And we're going to have a missions emphasis. And you know, church, don't get weary of giving. Don't get weary of hearing it from the pulpit. Don't get weary of digging in a little bit and giving. You know, we're able to send sometimes special offerings to help missionaries with projects. You say it's pressure. It's the right kind of pressure. It's the right kind of pressure. Let's get the message out. Get the message out. These Pony Express guys on mules and horseback and dromedaries and camels, they were hastened and pressed on. Hastened and pressed on. Hastened and pressed on. And it's up to us, under the pressure of getting the missionaries around the world, to keep after it. Friend, that's the right kind of pressure. And God blesses a missions-minded church. There's no doubt about it. So I encourage you tonight about your missions giving. Thank you for giving and making it possible for us to support missionaries, to take on new ones from time to time, to give gifts once in a while, to help with buildings or property or whatever they're doing. Bibles, like we have Brother Nibby in Romania. It's a blessing to be able to give when the need is there. It's the right kind of pressure. The decree has come from the lips of our King. The message contains deliverance, and the deadline is approaching. Let's be faithful. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you tonight for listening. Brother Paul, again, thank you for being here and sharing with us tonight that good report on your word. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for Brother Paul and his family being here tonight. Lord, it's been fun to have them with us. God, I pray that we'll just use this as an encouragement, a time of regrouping and thinking through this matter of missions. Lord, if somebody has fallen away from giving, maybe they could jump back in and give to Faith Promise Missions and help support missionaries around the world. God, I pray that you'll multiply the investment financially that we make. Thank you for the souls that are being saved in Uganda through Brother Hudson's ministry, and Lord, for the souls in Guadalajara through Brother Murillo, and the souls through Brother Payton's ministry in Mexico. And on we could go. God, would you continue to reach people through the giving of you folks here at Faith Baptist? Help us to be missions-minded and to be under that kind of pressure to hasten and press on to send the King's command, to send the King's message of deliverance. We'll thank you for it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I hope always you young men especially will keep your heart tender before the Lord. You never know, young guys, young boys, young men, when God will reach down and say, I want you to be a Paul Hudson. I want you to be a Bob Murillo. I want you to be a Dan Payton. I want you to take the message of the gospel to some particular spot in the world. And if you're not called to go, you're called to give. Be involved and let the Lord work through you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you have a need tonight for the altar, the invitation's beginning. The ladies are playing now. As they play, the altar is open. And you come as God leads, as you see fit tonight. Obey the Lord. If you need to be baptized or you need to be saved, of course, that's the most important thing. You come and obey the Lord tonight. Let God lead, direct,